light skin here with me. This ain't a diss song, but yeah, you know what it is. I'm a cheesehead, y'all do the cheese whiz. Pittsburgh Steelers, that's nothing. That Super Bowl ring, that's nothing. Pull up in your town when you see me, you know everything. Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow. I put it down, representing for my team. I'm in green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Wisconsin Sports Talk Weekly with Ray and D. How about that new intro music? It's pretty sweet. Just got to take the chance because, hey, why not? Good win and fits perfectly. So how are you doing today, Ray?
I'm doing good, and I just like to say I think Lil Wayne deserves a Grammy for that song.
He does. He tweeted out, God, family, and Green Bay Packers football after that win.
Amen to that. Amen to that, Lil Wayne.
Yep. Love it. So, but yeah, pretty good. Pretty good win, obviously. Moving on to the championship.
I'd say it's a great win, D.
It is a great win. Got me there. But always a good day after a Packer football win, like you said, 1 week. And I just agree with you. So shall we move on to our recap of the
game? Yeah, let's start the recap. All heck right. of a game this was. I'll start out with the first quarter.
Okay.
So I'm sure everyone listening saw, but the game starts with Andrew Corliss catching a 4-yard pass from Aaron Rodgers, and Green Bay leads 7-0.
Solid.
And then Dallas retaliates with Tyler Klutz catching a 1-yard touchdown pass from Tony Romo. So it's 7-7 at the end of the first.
Right. Then Terrence Williams get a 38-yard pass from Tony Romo to make the score 14-0. And I would like to add on that drive, nobody knew how to tackle because he slipped like 3 tackles, I'm pretty sure, on that.
Yeah, that was not good.
It was not a good one. But then they go down to try to score, but Dan Bailey misses his kick. They got about, I don't know how many seconds left, probably like 40.
Yeah.
Packers drive down, get a 40-yard field goal for Mason Crosby to make the score 14-10 Dallas going into halftime.
That was a huge momentum shift for the Packers,
it was.
I think, too. We'll get in more to that later. Third quarter starts out with Crosby hitting a 30-yard field goal to make it 14-13. Then DeMarco Murray runs it in from 1 yard out, 21-13 Dallas. And then biggest play of the game, in my opinion, or
yeah,
maybe besides the next touchdown, but Devontae Adams with a 46-yard touchdown reception from Aaron Rodgers to make it 21-20, still Dallas lead.
Yeah, that pass from Rodgers to Devontae was probably the biggest play coming out of that, besides the one we'll get to later, I think you all know. But he impressed me on that one because he juked a bunch of people out to get that score.
And I think one of the knocks about Devontae coming out of college was that he wasn't that fast, and he sure outran a lot of people on that play.
Yeah, he did.
So,
yeah, all right. Well, we'll move on to the fourth quarter. And to tie things up for the game to end was Richard Rodgers, a 13-yard pass from Aaron Rodgers. And I would like to say that pass just defines how great Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah.
Because he literally threaded the needle on that one. And with that score, Green Bay 26, Dallas 21. That ended up being your final. And overall, good game. And then, yeah, I don't know. It just
yeah, I mean, why don't we just go through quarter by quarter again? I'd say the first quarter, they come out, they stop Dallas, they get the ball and score. And I'm almost in blowout mode already. Like, we've seen how many games before at Lambeau Field this year where they come out, score right away, get a quick stop, get the ball back.
Yeah.
But then Dallas, I will give Dallas a lot of credit. They came out and tied it right back up. And that was a really good drive put together by Romo and company. And yeah, I would just like to say the first half had a lot of missed holding calls on Dallas's offensive line.
There's a lot of missed holding calls throughout the entire game.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree.
I think that's why they moved the ball so effectively. And honestly, I'm going to say this before that Dez Bryant call, I texted you. I said, I am convinced NFL is a conspiracy and that the refs are getting Dallas into the Super Bowl on purpose.
Well, I texted you that said, I'm going to become a full-on conspiracy theorist against the NFL after, I don't know, I think the third quarter, I think it was. I was really upset.
I mean, yeah, some of the calls were just ridiculous. And then TJ Lang got called for that whole scrum. He got called for pushing, like, that hit, like, after the whistle.
Sportsman, like, conduct or whatever.
There was how many
hits
in there? And then there was another fight during the game at some point, and only a Packers player got called. And the fight went on for, like, half a minute at least.
On that challenge Mike McCarthy did with the tipped ball by Julius Peppers, and they called that dumb pass interference call. The ball was uncatchable either way, and you can't throw a flag. It was short of like 10 yards. Do you really think Des Bryant's going to come back and catch that?
Yeah.
Highly doubt it.
I know.
With that Tremont Williams call, was that for the touchdown, I think it was? Can't remember. But they tripped up, and it was incidental contact. Like, come on, ref.
Yeah, that was not a good call. I mean, put together with last week, and you saw the kind of that botched pass interference call with the Lions, and put together with the whole first three quarters of this game, I was convinced that the refs had it out, that they were trying to get Dallas deep into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I was absolutely shocked when that Dez Bryant call got overturned.
Oh, yeah, same here. Like, that just made my day. Like, it was so awesome.
And we'll get into that later. Yeah. We still have a lot of recap.
But this game has been one of the only games I have ever, like, yelled at the TV because they were missing so many holding calls. Mike Daniels had an arm around his neck and was put into a chokehold, but he still managed to make a sack.
I know. There was times there that they just, like, tackled Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
Like, you can do that.
Oh, well. We move on. Packers won. Nice try, Dallas. Better luck next time, if there is a next time.
Yeah, and I mean, going into the game last week, I knew if they won, they'd have to go to Seattle. I honestly, like, was not even thinking about that game at all. I just wanted them to beat Dallas so bad. I hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, and same here.
The way they beat them was just great, too. It just sucked the life out of them.
And the way ESPN had just hyped up this game about Dallas the entire week.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
That just puts the cherry on top. So much better.
All week, we hear how great Romo is. I mean, we went through that last week, how Romo was rated as the second most trustworthy quarterback in the playoffs.
Yeah, not anymore.
I mean, Green Bay still was favored, I think, by like 6 points at the end before the game. But everyone was picking Dallas. And just the way it ended was so great.
So, all right. Well, who was your MVP of the game?
Well, it's really easy to say Aaron Rodgers on this one, but I'm going to go with Davante Adams. He really stepped up in that one. He had 7 receptions for 117 yards and the big touchdown there. Because, I mean, I won't say Dallas. They shut down Jordy. Randall still had a decent game. And the Titans both had a pretty good game. But, I mean, it just – I'm feeling better going into next week because of this, because of how good Richard Sherman is and the rest of the Seattle defense, that Rodgers will have options besides Nelson and Cobb. So, I mean, the game this guy had to step up as a rookie in the playoffs, it was a great game out of Devontae.
Yeah, I agree. My MVP, well – really couldn't think of one, but you took my Davante Adams, so I'm just going to say Rodgers. I mean, that's a general for everything, but let's be real here. The dude was playing on one leg and still had 316 yards and 3 touchdowns and 0 interceptions at home. Like, come on.
Yeah.
No one else can do that. Like I said with the final touchdown pass to Richard Rodgers, that defines how good of a quarterback Aaron Rodgers is.
That was a crazy throw.
I think he was rolling out to his left and planting, and boom, like
in between two defenders.
Two defenders with like probably 5 yards to spare, I'd say.
Yeah, maybe not even. It was
that
great.
Thing came in as a bullet too. Like, it was just incredible. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers putting the team on his back, kind of.
And I mean, last week, I mean, I'm like one of the biggest Aaron Rodgers fans out there. Yeah. And last week I said, I expected him to do well, but I said I think like 220 yards and two touchdowns, or one or two touchdowns. Goes for 316 and three touchdowns. That was like almost a perfect game out of him. I mean, yeah, first half got off to a little bit of a rocky start, but he was overthrowing a couple guys. But hey, wow, just like to come back like that.
Yep.
He's the MVP. If someone else gets it, that's
conspiracy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Conspiracy then. Yeah. Now, do you want to just move on to that catch and just talk about that, or do you want to?
Let's see. We got some deciding factors here first.
Alrighty.
I spoke on it earlier, but that missed field goal before half, and then the Packers went down. I think that was like one of the biggest momentum swings of the game.
Yeah.
Because if you can have a play like that going into halftime, it kind of gives you something to build on at halftime and come back out.
Yeah.
And another big change of pace in the game was when Julius Peppers stripped DeMarco Murray and the Packers recovered. Because at that point, they were rolling. The Cowboys were rolling, and I was getting worried because it looked like Murray was just settling and pounding the Packers defense. And Peppers, once again, makes another big play this year and changed up the moment.
Julius Peppers has helped their defense out tremendously, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great pickup by the Packers.
I know. He's just a playmaker, honestly. Like,
yeah.
That's the best word to describe him.
Yeah, he has two pick sixes this year. As like a defensive end, I want to call him. Even though he's defined as an outside linebacker, but guy's incredible.
Yeah. So, catch everyone's been talking about. Let's just get into it.
Well, when I first saw it, I was like, well, because what was the play? Was it like fourth and three?
Fourth and one. Or fourth and two, maybe. It was one or two.
One of those. And they go deep. And I was like, what are they doing? And then that ball just kept going and going. And Dez Bryant just goes up and makes an incredible grab. One of the better catches I've seen this year besides Odell Beckham's. But at first I thought it was a catch, but then I saw the ball pop out. I don't want to say that I called it, but like I was like kind of questioning it, but I was like, no, there's no way McCarthy's going to lose this challenge, because I for sure thought that it was a catch.
Yeah. I mean, I had the same initial reaction as you, I guess. I see fourth and one or fourth and two or whatever, and I see that they're going to go for it. So first thing that comes to mind, okay, they're going to pound it with DeMarco Murray and they're going to get it, like, hands down. I had no doubts that's what was going to happen. And I see Romo drop back, and I was like, shocked, I guess. So I'm thinking just, like, a quick slant route or something underneath, just enough to pick up the first down. And he throws it deep, and I was a little surprised by that, too. And then I saw Sam Shields had really tight coverage on him, and that was great coverage by Sam Shields. You can't do anything about that. It was a well-thrown ball, and Dez Bryant is an animal.
It had to be put right where it had, and he went up and got it.
Yeah, so then when he did come down to the ground, I did see the ball move a little bit, but like I didn't think a ton of it because, I mean, I knew it was a catch on the field, and I knew the refs were kind of going against the Packers all day. And I see McCarthy challenge, and the people I'm watching it with are saying, oh, why is he challenging? He hasn't won a challenge all year. I mean, at this point, it's worth it because – you get the challenge. If they overturn the call, Green Bay has the ball with like 4 minutes left and just has to chew some clock. If the call stands, Dallas has the ball on the 1 yard line. So I mean, I thought it was a good challenge. And then they show in slow mo again. The more I'm seeing it, I'm thinking, okay, the ball hit the ground, got knocked loose. Like, I'm no expert, but I could see how it could be overturned.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they do overturn it.
Yep. Yeah, and everybody was reacting to that. Like, how is this not a catch, blah, blah, blah. Well, we have the rule right here from Rule 8, Article 3 of the league's rule book. I'll read it to you. If a player goes to the ground in the act of catching a pass with or without contact by an opponent, he must maintain control of the ball throughout the process of contacting the ground, whether in the field of play or in the end zone. If he loses control of the ball and the ball touches the ground before he regains control, the pass is incomplete. If he regains control prior to the ball touching the ground, the pass is complete. So, yeah, that totally defines exactly what happened.
Yeah.
He went to the ground, and you can see the ball like the tip of the ball hit it the ground and popped out. And that totally is what the rule is stating right there.
Yeah. And I knew it was going to be controversial just because it was pretty close to being a catch. But the thing that makes me feel good is they had Mike Pereira, Joe Buck and Aikman had Mike Pereira in the booth with them right there. And first thing he says is, according to the NFL rulebook, I don't think that's a catch. And like, he goes through it all and everything, and I'm feeling good about it because, I mean, the dude was like ex-head of officiating or whatever. Yeah. So,
and going off of that with like Mike Pereira, like all of these ex-refs that like all these analysts have brought on said they got the rule right and that what happened was correct.
I haven't heard. Go ahead, Derek.
Oh, but then you can hear all these ESPN analysts like, oh, I don't think that should be blah, blah, blah. This is totally a catch, blah, blah, blah. But
I haven't heard anyone with credibility say that they got the call wrong. Anyone you ask, whether it's like Tony Dungy came out and said it, and I mean, he was a great NFL coach. I've heard so many ex-officials, current officials, whatever, just say that that's the right call. So you can't argue it. Is nothing like the Seattle screw a couple years ago.
No, it's not. Nothing close. Because that decided the game. This did not decide the game.
That's another thing I like to talk about. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, I think we're going to probably explain the same thing. But because Dez Bryant goes down at the one, let's just say DeMarco Murray just pounds it in. With let's just say
it's first and goal. Yeah. I mean, the Packers defense, they're no slouches. Dallas has got three downs to score, probably four. I mean, I'm guessing they probably go for it again. So, I mean, who's to say Dallas even scores? I mean, most likely they do, but you never know. Or there could be a fumble. You never know.
Yeah. And even if they don't, I mean, even if they do score and the Packers get it back, they're still at the 20. And, like, how far was that pass? Was he from, like, the 40, 35? I don't even know. Yeah.
Maybe, like, 25, 30, something like that.
Like, that's just, like, basically the same distance. And if you remember, the Packers drove down the field right after that and got the first down to, like, secure the win.
Yeah. So you would have been giving Aaron Rodgers the ball back with 4 minutes and two timeouts and putting that same defense that is tired late in the fourth quarter, and you have the best quarterback in the NFL, some of the best receivers in the NFL, the best coach in the NFL at home. I honestly, they give the touchdown to Dallas, Green Bay wins no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. So you cannot say that that catch decided the game, because it did.
And the catch goes the way it did. It's called incomplete. Dallas still has 4 minutes to stop the Packers.
Yeah.
And they don't. I mean, by no means the game was over when they called that incomplete.
That's why, because right after the game, they interviewed Jason Garrett, and he said this game had nothing to do with officiating because we had 60 minutes to try to win that game, and we didn't. So. Yeah. Props to him.
That was a really classy answer. I was honestly expecting him to whine about the officials.
Yeah.
Just like Dez Bryant. I mean, the face of Dez Bryant after that call was probably one of the greatest images of the game.
Yeah.
He looked like a five-year-old, honestly.
And going off of that, because of that, his face, someone made a meme that said, I thought we paid the refs. And I was just like, hilarious.
Yeah, obviously referring to how the calls were going for Dallas the whole playoffs up until that point. But yeah, classy answer by Jason Garrett. I mean, as much as I hate the Cowboys, I think Jerry Jones gave a pretty classy answer as well. I'm not a fan of Jerry Jones either, but the only ones, Dez was really the only one I heard complain about. I think Romo said he wasn't a fan of it either, but he didn't really go into depth with it.
With Dez, too, though, I think he complained about it quite a bit, but then he finally came back, and he tweeted something out. He's like, all right, I get it, we lost, and I accept it, but please change that rule. And I'm like, I'm totally on board with that, because that's such a dumb rule. Like, he had, like, I think it was three full steps before the ball popped out. And I don't know, the rule is just dumb. Because I remember watching the Lions game when this happened with Calvin Johnson, and he totally had a touchdown, but he dropped the ball after like two steps, and they called it and had a touchdown, and they lost the game to the Bears.
But in my eyes, that Calvin Johnson play was more of a screw job than this was, I think. Yeah. I think the way I saw it, he caught the ball, took like two steps, and then he's still completing the process of the catch. Because I'm thinking, okay, just say he catches the ball and takes those two steps, and someone like came and knocked the ball out. I'm just gonna say most likely that'd be like incomplete. I mean, it could be a fumble, but so as he's going to the ground, it hits the ball hits the ground and gets like knocked out. Like it, I guess you have to perform an act common to the game, or whatever that call, whatever they're calling it all week now, but. I don't know. I kind of like the way the rule is. I think get your arms under the ball. If he had another step in there or something, I don't know.
It's
Maybe it's just because I'm a
controversial,
Packers
but
fan.
yeah,
Because honestly, same
obvious.
thing happened to Jordy Nelson. I'd probably be pissed too.
Oh yeah,
I
same
don't
here.
know. I saw something on Packers.com earlier. Someone wrote into this Ask Vic column. I don't know if you read this, Derek,
I've
but
heard of it,
it's
yeah.
Vic Ketchman.
Okay.
But anyway, someone, a Cowboys fan, wrote in and he said, I'm just paraphrasing here. Dallas won the game and you know it. Green Bay should forfeit the game. It's like,
No.
and people in the comments were saying exactly what we just said before. Like,
Yeah.
that's an absolute joke. And yeah, we had some interesting tweets about it, though, from some
But hold up
non-NFL
bef
players, I
yeah, no.
think.
Well, hold up before we go to that, because after the game, my dad's like, "Hey, go to a Dallas newspaper and see if you can read like comments and stuff on it." And like none of them really were bashing the refs. They're like, "It's a stupid rule, and yeah, Dallas kind of got screwed over because of the rule. You live and die by that stupid rule in the NFL now." So, whatevs, but we'll just move on from that
Something
to
to
the
think about.
tweets.
Something to think about. Biggest thing that got on my nerves was LeBron James tweeting about it.
It's not even your sport, man.
Like,
Keep it to yourself.
yeah, I know. He's like, then what is a catch then? Or that was like one of his tweets. I'm like, okay, like you're the one who just said like 2 months ago that you wouldn't allow your kids to play football. So
Yeah, why do you care?
yeah, just get out of here, LeBron. Like,
Our
honestly.
Bucks correspondent, Big J, tweeted at him. Let me pull that up quick because I thought it was pretty funny. Where is it? Because, yeah, LeBron James tweeted out whatever that, and then he said, "Same to you, King James." Something that's inappropriate. Quit whining about the refs from the Packers game and go back to winning, whining to the refs in the NBA like you always do. And he hit it home because it's exactly what LeBron James does. So you can never escape seeing LeBron James whining about the refs somewhere. He
That is true.
always comes up.
So true, Derek. And Skip Bayless,
Oh, God.
who I am not a big fan of.
I don't think
I
anybody's a big
don't
fan
think
of him.
anyone really is. That's one of my gripes against ESPN. More on that later. But, quote, "This was the crime of the century," Bayless proclaimed on First Take on Monday morning. "This was the biggest playoff robbery since the Tuck Rule game in New England in 2012. Anyone with half a brain and eyes can see that, or that can see, could see this was a catch. Dez Bryant clearly had completed the process in catching and controlling the football. And this is off the Landry hat, which is just a Dallas Cowboys fan site. But I was just looking for the quote. But I mean,
Skip Bayless, honestly.
Skip. What Skip, the reason Skip is going so hard against this call is because he needs a scapegoat. Because all year, he ripped on Aaron Rodgers for not being able to win
Yes, he
playoff
did.
games and just bashed him and bashed him. And he thinks Tony Romo is a second coming. I'm not even kidding. And
Which he's not.
Romo lost and Rodgers won, and he needs a scapegoat. And that's why Skip Bayless is saying what he's saying. And I really don't even want to get into that much because
It just gets us fired
it gets me
up.
so upset.
Well, yeah, we'll get back to Skip Bayless in a little bit because we got a new segment coming up. But is there anything more on this catch
I
besides?
mean, I don't think so. I mean, I think that's the general response. I mean, there was so much talk about it on ESPN, and I'm sure as Packer fans, you guys are sick of hearing about it already and just want to move on to Seattle, which is what we're gonna do next.
So, all right. You want to do our players to watch for this next game?
Sure, me and Dee discussed before the episode. We got some players to watch. I have two. I mean, besides the obvious Aaron Rodgers,
Obviously.
I have Eddie Lacy and Jordy Nelson. Eddie Lacy because Seattle has a tough run defense. And I think what's jump started the Packers in the last game was that first drive, excuse me, Lacey just pounded and pounded the ball and helped them drive down the field. I think getting the run game is a key to getting the run game started is a key to getting the passing game started.
Yeah.
So if Lacey can run on the Seattle defense next week and get them worn down, that'll open up Rodgers to throw through the air. And then obviously Jordy Nelson, because he's probably going to have Richard Sherman on him a lot of the time. And I think last week, it's not the first week, but it's one of the few weeks that Jordy Nelson hasn't been a huge factor in the game and the Packers still won.
Yeah.
So I think next week, I don't think he's going to be able to get held to what he was this week and the Packers still win. He's going to need to do more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, my players to watch, my first one, I have two exactly like you. My first one is the offensive line. That's going to be probably the biggest thing because they got to keep Seattle's pass rush off of Rodgers as much as possible so Rodgers does not have to scramble and his calf gets more aggravated. And that, yeah, and you have to establish that run game, and you have to have a good running offensive line that can block downfield and protect or get downfield, block players so Eddie Lacy has somewhere to run. And you got to create holes for Eddie Lacy. But yeah, and then my second is the tight ends again, because they'll be pretty hammered hard down on their wideouts, and your tight ends are going to have to be open and have to make plays this week like they did last week. So, yeah, those are my two players to watch.
Yeah, I think the offensive line makes or breaks this game for the Packers. They looked, like, really good against Dallas. The only problem was that one play where Rodgers – or it wasn't even really their fault. It was because Lindsley snapped it a little early, and then Rodgers ended up fumbling. But with Rodgers not being as mobile, they need to – have a better pocket for him, I guess, to throw out of.
Yeah.
And Dallas had was ranked 28th in the league with sacks per pass attempt, and Seattle's ranked 11th. I mean, they're not top five or anything, but they have a solid defense.
Yeah, they do.
Everywhere. Like, they're solid everywhere, and the Packers are just going to have to play their best game this
week. They have to. They have to.
Do you have a difference maker for me, D?
Difference maker. This kind of sounds funny, but bear with me. How well the players can hear, because you're going to have to know when Rodgers audibles out of something. And because that stadium is built to be so loud, you're going to have your ears wide open and pay attention to what Rodgers is calling, because he'll probably see a blitz coming and he's going to audible out of it. And if you can't hear that, you're going to screw up and there's going to be a turnover of some sort. So they have to be smart, and they have to know their assignments. They got to know exactly what Rodgers wants them to do, because if you screw up, like I said, it's going to be hurting you pretty bad. So
yeah. And go off that, I think it's not unfair, but I just think it's stupid how Seattle Stadium is designed specifically to, like, hold noise.
Yeah.
Where you have, like, I think Arrowhead is the main stadium it competes with for being the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
And Arrowhead's, like, looks exactly like Lambeau. It's just an open bowl stadium. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it's unfair, because, I mean, you can do it, but it's just kind of dumb to me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that
one. It's not that they're fans, that it's like there's that many fans there or that are even that loud. It's their stadium just holds in all the noise.
Yeah, and going off of their fans, like, they... If I see anybody in Wisconsin with a Seattle Seahawks gear, you are a world-class bandwagoner. Because if you liked them before the Super Bowl era, like, let's just say 3 years before it, I give you props, because...
Before Russell Wilson, I would say.
Yeah, before Russell Wilson got there, I give you props in that you're not a bandwagoner. But once you win the Super Bowl and ESPN hypes them up and everybody hypes them up and you just become a Seattle Seahawks fan... You're a bandwagoner.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. You're a bandwagoner.
I know here in Michigan at college, I've seen the past 2 weeks, I've seen a bunch of girls walking around with those Seahawks hats on and Seahawks.
Try to name me three players besides Russell Wilson.
Yeah, exactly.
Man,
like,
you can.
Anyone, unless you're from the state of Washington or for some odd reason of, like, the Seahawks before Russell Wilson came, like, just get out of here. You're the
mm-hmm.
you're just as bad as a LeBron bandwagoner.
Yep. I agree.
So
What's your difference maker?
My difference maker, D, is I have a couple things.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers' leg, how his leg's feeling, how he can scramble, or if he can scramble, how he can move in the pocket. I noticed at the start of the game last week he was missing high on a lot of throws. I don't know if that was because of the leg or if he was just a little amped up because it was a playoff game or whatever. And going off of that, how McCarthy adjusts the play calling according to his leg and how Rodgers is feeling. I think he did a great job last week. They ran the pistol formation a lot.
Yeah, that's helping him out a
so
lot.
So he doesn't have to drop back so much. They take almost every snap out of gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think he's doing a great job so far. And while we're on McCarthy, I'd just like to say this guy is, in my opinion, maybe next to Bill Belichick, is the best coach in the NFL.
I can see it. I agree.
We all know the Seahawks played the Packers and beat the Packers week one.
But these are two different teams now.
Yeah.
These are literally two different
teams. Months later. But Mike McCarthy said in a press conference earlier, I don't know if it was yesterday or right after the game or whenever, but he said he's ready to win the NFC Championship. And I would not be surprised if McCarthy finished all of his Dallas game planning or whatever and started looking at Seattle, because this guy, he needs more credit than what he gets, and he's a great coach. And I would not be surprised if the reason he said that is because he saw something on film or saw something last time they played him, and maybe he just saw weakness in Seattle, and maybe he's got something up his sleeve this week. No idea, but watch out for Mike McCarthy this week. Maybe a trick play, maybe a surprise onside kick. I know he likes to do that sometimes. I bet you something. He'll make a play decision or something that makes a difference in the game this week.
But what about Pete Carroll? He's rated as the best coach to be coached by. Okay, shut up, people.
Yeah.
But going off like the Mike McCarthy and how he's like, I'm ready to win an NFC championship. Aaron Rodgers even said, he's like, I got 102 minutes ready in me and ready to go. 120 minutes left. So.
They seem confident to me, which is, they're 7-point underdogs in an NFC championship game. That's kind of not a lot. It's a touchdown, but I mean, it is a championship game.
It is.
But I'd like to say the last time they were this confident, 2010, before the Super Bowl, McCarthy took the players to get their ring size before the game. And I heard that. I was like, what are you doing? Like, it's the last thing I do. And they came out that Super Bowl hyped up. They went up like 3 touchdowns, and I don't know. So maybe the confidence is good. I just think there's more that meets the eye here. Like, they know something about Seattle that we don't. And it's going to play out on Sunday, and I cannot wait to watch this game.
Same here. I'm totally jacked. I'm hyped up. Can't wait. Something to look forward to this week.
You want to get into our predictions for the game, Derek?
Yes, we will. I predict Packers will win 24-21. It'll be a close game, but I think Packers will come out on top, and obviously, but I mean, it's going to be a tight one, and they'll sneak it out, I think. So,
all right, I'm not going to lie.
Hater.
As soon as they beat the Cowboys,
you're a hater.
I looked in the next game, and I texted Derek, I'm like, I don't think they can beat Seattle.
And everything I replied to, he said, I was like, you're a hater. You have no confidence.
At first, I didn't think they could beat Seattle. I listened to some press conferences, saw what McCarthy and Rodgers were saying, kind of what I just said, and they're confident, so I think I should be confident too. I am predicting the final score is 27-26 Packers in a nail-biter of a game. And honestly, like, this is going to be the toughest game of the year.
It is.
I'm not saying Seattle is a good team, but they're not. They're not 7 points better than the Packers, like the initial predictions are saying. It is just literally the worst matchup in the NFL for the Packers. Their weakness is their run defense. Seattle probably has one of the strongest running games in the league.
With Marshawn Lynch.
And Russell Wilson. They struggle with quarterbacks who are mobile. They have Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
They thrive off their great offense. Seattle has the best defense in the league. It's literally a nightmare matchup for the Packers.
It is.
And that's why I struggled picking them.
But, like, going off of how they're two different teams, like, what torched them last time was Percy Harvin from getting all these things from Russell Wilson. Percy Harvin's not even on the Seahawks anymore. And who's their best wideout? Kirsch? Doug Baldwin?
Doug Baldwin, I'd
say. I don't
say.
Even know. But
they don't have a lot of big names besides Lynch and Wilson. Yeah. Oh, watch out for that other Wilson, their tight end.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason to me, it always feels like tight ends burn the Packers. Like Jason Witten last week, I don't know. Watch out for him. If they can, they have to make the Seahawks one-dimensional. If they can shut down the passing game and make Wilson feel uncomfortable, I think they'll win. And if they shut down the running game and make Wilson win the game himself, I think they'll win. But if they let them be two-dimensional and let Lynch pound them and then Russell Wilson throw over them, they're going to lose.
I think the thing that they should do, I mean, with my Madden skills that I have, I think they should put like a spy on him, because if he moves around, you just got that linebacker just floating along with him. So, I mean, McCarthy's got it planned out. I trust in him. Hopefully Dom Capers brings his best game ever.
So, he's going to need it. You know what? This week right here is the Packers Super Bowl. If they win this week, they'll win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I have no doubts, because they match up a lot better against the Colts and the Patriots than they do against the Seahawks. They do. So going off of that, I think who wins this game wins the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But if the Packers win this game, I'll have a lot of confidence in them in the Super Bowl. So
Yep.
That's my two cents.
Yeah. All right. I'm pretty jacked. So
yeah, this will be an exciting game, and hopefully when we're back here next week doing this, we're just as jacked.
Yeah. So that's all we got for that game and the Packers, but you want to move on? You want to talk about the AFC Championship game a little bit?
Yeah, let's hit on that. Another huge.
First off, who called Colts winning last week? Pretty sure I did.
You did there. Right? Yes, right? I did.
And I proved you wrong again. But so, this is a good match, too. Like, they're both really good teams. And I'll look forward to it, hopefully. Hopefully, I'm not angry and just turn off my TV and sit in my room and cry the rest of the night. But hopefully after if the Packers lose, I should reiterate that. But
I'm not going to lie. If the Packers lose, I'm probably not going to pay a lot of attention in this game.
No, me neither.
But I'm as excited as I am for this matchup. I really wanted to see Manning Brady to go to the Super Bowl, just because that makes for good TV. And I like Peyton Manning. And if the Packers weren't in it, I wanted him to win one more Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree.
I also like Andrew Luck, and I want him to beat the snot out of Tom Brady.
Yep, I agree. What do you think the final score will be for this game?
I mean, I think this one will be kind of high scoring. I mean, they both have like decent defenses, but obviously their offenses are their strong points.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, I have Patriots 34, Colts 27, and interesting stat, whoever wins this game, whether it's the Patriots or Colts, if the Patriots win, Tom Brady will go to the Super Bowl, and for the sixth time.
Jeez.
I think this is a stat.
Yeah, it will be.
For the sixth time.
Yep.
And if the Colts win, Adam Vinatieri will go to the Super Bowl for the sixth time, and that ties like the all-time record.
That's neat.
Interesting stat there.
It is. Completely opposite of you. I have Colts winning 28-24. I could see it happen.
How great would a Colts-Packers Super Bowl be?
That would be a great
Super Bowl. That would honestly be the best matchup.
Yeah, because I hate the Patriots and the Seahawks, and ESPN and everybody in the world loves the Patriots and the Seahawks. How would it just to be stick it to them to see the Packers versus Colts?
And honestly, that's a better game. You have Luck versus Rodgers like that. I want to see that. I can't remember the last time those two played each other.
2011, 2012. Colts beat them.
Yeah, was that Indianapolis? They had Bruce Arians filling in for Chuck Pagano, right?
Yeah, because he had cancer.
I remember that game, but honestly, I hate the Patriots and the Seahawks, and they're both the number one seed from each conference. And last year we had the one seed versus the one seed. And I highly doubt that'll happen 2 years in a row, because it's rare enough that it happened last year. So I think there's
I
a good
mean,
chance that we go Packers Colts.
I think so too. But and if it does end up being Patriots Seahawks, I want to see the Patriots win. I don't care.
I agree.
I hate both the teams, but I can't stand Seattle.
The reason
I can't.
I'd like to see the Patriots win is because maybe it'll finally get Brady and Belichick out of there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I hate them. They're great. I hate them. And I, like, am ready to see them go. Because my entire life, as long as I've been following the NFL, New England has been, like, the team every single year. And I'm sick of it.
Same.
So I'm ready for that to end. So I'm thinking they win the Super Bowl next year. Or, I mean, this year. Maybe come back next year, and then who knows from there. But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
And there might shorten their careers.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But
I can't bear another Seahawks Super Bowl.
No, I can't either. And, that's another fact I can – or another thing I can say is I'll save this for – we didn't do our SMHs yet. Well, I'll save this till then. How about that?
Okay.
This one's a pretty good one.
So, just for the record, Derek Brill, let's go over your scores again and predictions for the Super Bowl.
So, do you want both Seattle?
Just saying both. Going on the record here.
Okay. Packers win 24-21. Colts win 28-24. And I see a Colts-Packers Super Bowl.
All right. And we're not even going to talk about next week or 2 weeks from now. But I have 27-26 Packers, and I have 34-27 Patriots setting up a 1996 rematch.
All right. You heard it first, ladies and gentlemen. If we, either of us gets this, we'll be geniuses again. So, going off of that, we'll just do our thumbs up in our SMHs of the week.
Yep. Second week going now with that.
Yep.
Trying to be original.
Yep. And if you're new here, SMH is shake my head and
so the thumbs up would be the positive.
Yes.
Thing that happened, and SMH, the negative.
All right.
Let's you start things off, D.
All right. For my thumbs up, I have the Colts because we called this kind of a while back. We talked about it. If the Colts did make the playoffs, they would make a pretty good run at it, and they'd be a team that would be on fire throughout the playoffs. And I give them props going into Denver and everybody hyping up the Luck versus Manning rematch and all this stuff. And they handled themselves right, and they came out, and they were the better team in that game, and they beat the Broncos. And that's why I say Colts.
Yeah. Andrew Luck is a man, honestly.
Yeah,
he's
that neck beard.
He's probably my second favorite quarterback to watch in the league behind Mr. Rodgers. But my thumbs up of the week, kind of being a homer here, picking a Packers player, but I'd say the tight ends from the Packers, Richard Rodgers and Andrew Corliss.
Yeah.
And they each caught a touchdown on, I think the Cowboys game plan going in was to limit Nelson and Cobb and try and do, I spoke on this last week, the teams that have beat the Packers have limited Nelson and Cobb and been physical on the receivers. And I think the Cowboys knew that, and I think that's what they tried to do, and it worked on Nelson. But luckily for the Packers, they have some pretty dang good tight ends, and
yeah,
Richard Rodgers is, I think, rising up, and Andrew Corliss is stepping in.
Yeah, sadly we don't have J. Mike anymore.
Yeah, tragedy there, but I'm being honest too. JerMichael Finley was an athlete.
Guy couldn't catch balls to save his life, but hey, the dude was a threat though.
Yeah, so. I mean, so they played really well, and don't be surprised if Richard Rodgers or Corliss snags another touchdown this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about your SMHD?
Well, I have two, but I'll save my second one till you're done with yours. But my SMH is the Bills hiring Rex Ryan. Why? Why are you hiring Rex Ryan as a head coach? We've seen with the Jets that he cannot be a head coach. Is he a good defensive-minded coordinator? Yes. If I were to hire Rex Ryan, I would only make him a D coordinator. But because he was a head coach of the Jets, there was no way he's going to take a step down to become a defensive coordinator. But the guy, he brings too much attention to the team that he's on, and the guy is like a bumbling idiot. Like, God doesn't know when to shut up. Like,
I'd
but.
agree with you, Dave. Excuse me. I'd agree with you, D, on that one, just because you're right. He does draw a ton of attention. And I know he did take the Jets to the AFC Championship that one year.
2 years in a row, I think,
yeah,
right?
You're right, 2 years in a row. But since then, he really hasn't done much. And he honestly, if they could have got him as a D coordinator, like, that would have been that's what you want to hire him for. But if you bring him in as head coach, just make sure you have a good offensive coordinator to back him up.
Well, that's the thing that they're trying to do. The Bills are going to try to get Mark Trestman out there, too.
Yeah, good luck hiring two big names like that.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
Go ahead. No, you can finish. Sorry.
I'd say it's a decent hire, but what the Bills need is offense, because honestly, their defense was pretty darn good.
They were.
Packers this year. So hiring a defensive-minded head coach doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, they just need a good quarterback, and I'd say their team's pretty solid. They'll be a good team next year, in my opinion. But
yeah, I mean, I'd give them 2 years maybe, and they'll be a playoff team, honestly, which is weird to say because it's the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, but, like, with Rex Ryan, I'd much rather have him over his brother, Rob Ryan, at the Saints.
Oh,
that guy's even worse
the
than what Rex Ryan
man.
Is. Yes, the fat homeless man. That guy is loudmouthed, and he's
foul
dropping.
Too.
Yeah, you can see it clearly on the camera. And I don't like him. And, like, after looking at those two compared that they're brothers, I'd much rather take Rex Ryan. But, yeah, I just said SMH to the Bills for hiring Rex Ryan after seeing what he did in the Jets. So
we'll see how it works out for him.
Yep.
My SMH of the week, honestly, I'm not that upset about this because I think it's hilarious week in and week out. I don't know how many of you saw it, but Marshawn Lynch had another press conference after their win. And a couple weeks ago, he answered every question he was asked with yes or yeah.
Yeah.
And this week, he answered every question he was asked with, I'm thankful. And the first question he was asked, the answer, I'm thankful, made sense. But it just went downhill from there. And honestly, this guy makes me laugh when I see it. And he's one of the Seahawks that I don't hate just because I think he hates the Seahawks himself.
Yeah.
But
it's funny.
He's hilarious, but, I mean, he's probably going to get fined again for it. But it's another funny thing. The dude does not care.
No, he doesn't.
I don't know why this was my SMH. I couldn't think of anything, but.
All right. I'll help you out on this next one. This will be, quote unquote, yours. So, after watching the Panthers versus the Seahawks game, I heard the announcers during that game bring up, like, I don't know who they were, who was announcing, but they're like, "When could you think, like, if you heard the word Seattle Seahawks, could you think of the word dynasty brought up with that?" And I got worked up for no reason. Really, a dynasty? It's been 2 years since they've been good. They've only won one Super Bowl, and they are not a dynasty. They are not even close to being a dynasty. A dynasty would be the Patriots because they've been good since 2001 or whatever they got Brady.
When I hear the word dynasty, I think of the Patriots. I think of, like, the Cowboys in the 90s. I think of, like, the Steelers. In the 70s, the Packers in the 60s, stuff like that.
Yeah, not a Seattle
think of
Seahawks
the new,
in 2 years.
The Seahawks after winning one Super Bowl. So, say they do win the Super Bowl this year, which they honestly have a pretty decent shot, and they, like, make the playoffs next year and maybe go deep, then you can call it a dynasty. Even after winning back-to-back Super Bowls, call it a dynasty. But literally, just because you win a divisional game playoff
versus the Panthers,
you're a dynasty. Yeah, versus the worst playoff team in the league this year, you're a dynasty. Like, no, I don't agree.
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever. It is what it is. That's a niche.
not to rant on that because we have a lot more to rant on later.
Yeah, we do, and we still have a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, this has just been a crazy week in sports, and
it has been
so much to preview, so much to recap. And why don't we just transition into some more NFL news here? Recently, John Fox and the Denver Broncos split ways.
Yeah, that was a huge shocker.
It was a shock to me too. And that begs some questions in Denver. But the thing I want to address first is I saw on NFL.com earlier the Bears are thinking about getting
him, Fox, yeah.
Which worries me because this is a coach that the Broncos have probably been one of the better teams in the NFL for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. Obviously went to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
And he's been around. And when the Bears hired Mark Trestman last year, out of the CFL, I honestly laughed. It was kind of like when they signed Jay Cutler to a contract. Yeah. I was like, okay, like go ahead, hire a CFL head football coach. I don't
see how that works out for you.
But it kind of worries me that they're going to hire this guy. I mean, obviously, I don't think they're going to be a threat next year. Mm-hmm. But say they do get a quarterback or Fox can come in and work with Cutler and those receivers they have, this could be a kind of a good team in a couple of years, like honestly. So that kind of worries me. Any thoughts on that, D?
No, just the same thought process that you have. It does worry me because he can make them good again with those weapons they have.
Yeah. So, I mean, John Fox and the Broncos splitting ways also has to beg the question, will this be Peyton Manning's last year?
I can certainly see it. It depends on what kind of coach they get next year or following this. Because they're trying to keep that old coordinator there because that's who Peyton Manning had ties to the most.
Yeah, you're right.
And he's possibly going to leave for another job. I forgot where, but that could be a problem.
No, you're right.
For him.
If they lose their offensive coordinator and the coaches, I mean, let's be honest, Denver bought a team. Like, they weren't that great of a team a couple years ago, and suddenly they're, like, one of the better teams in the NFL. They brought in Peyton Manning. Last offseason, they got all these defensive players to re-improve their defense. So they bought a team. So just as soon as they're good, they could be bad the next year. So I could see the coaches leaving ship. If Manning goes, they're done. You know what I mean? Like, unless Brock Osweiler pulls, like, an Aaron Rodgers or Steve Young,
they're done.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
So, I mean, I think I'd be sad to see Manning go because – that's another thing. As far as I can remember, Peyton Manning's been like one of the best quarterbacks in the league every year.
Who brought the stat up? Him and Charles Woodson are the only two players left from that draft playing in the NFL.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two of the best, too.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Don't quote me on that, but I'm kind of sure that's what it is. But
that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, go ahead, Derek.
Peyton Manning, like, I have no problem with him. I like Peyton Manning. He's a cool guy. He's chill. He's funny compared to his brother. I do not like Eli Manning, but Peyton Manning, completely different. I like him. He's fun to watch. So that's just my thought.
Yeah.
Random.
I agree. Yeah, I'd be sad to see him go, and yeah, the NFL would be a lot different without him.
Yeah, he's one of the greats. He'll be going down in history.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think it'd be weird for, I mean, I don't know, because when Favre retired, he retired from the Packers the first time, and Packers fans were just crushed.
Yeah.
But when Manning obviously didn't retire from the Colts, he just, like, was a free agent.
Yeah.
So I don't think Colts fans would be crushed because they have Luck, and I don't think Broncos fans can be crushed because he's only played 3 years with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think just the NFL as a whole will be sad, but, like, I don't see a fan base just – I don't think either fan base will be that upset, I guess.
Yeah. I don't either.
Funny thing today, I was watching ESPN, and they had John Elway come on for his press conference, and he comes on, and he's like, all right, first he wanted to thank John Fox for his years of service for the Broncos, and he said, first off, I'd like to thank John Elway, and he's like, oh, I mean John Fox, and – I think that just shows how self-centered John Elway is. But could John Elway step in and take a higher role in the organization, do you think? Like, I'm not saying step in and be head coach because that would probably be ridiculous, but, like, where do you see him going with the organization?
He's GM right now, right?
I don't even know. Like,
I don't even know what he is.
Head of football operations or something. But, no, I mean, he's got more pull than we know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He is John Elway.
I don't know. I could see him, like, doing a bunch of stuff. Like, he could pull, like, a Jerry Jones, be the owner and GM. Yeah. See how that worked out for the Cowboys.
He's got that personality, too. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't really I'm too young to like remember his playing days, but so I really don't know what he's like. But just from what I've seen recently and from what I've heard, I think he's kind of got that personality. But
Sure.
moving on from that.
First off, I put this kind of far down in my notes, kind of off in the distance. Here's a question. I was watching PTI today. That's the only
Yeah, one of the
show
few
on
shows
ESPN
ESPN
I
that I can
like.
actually watch.
Yeah. Question they brought up was, would you rather have Russell Wilson or an injured Aaron Rodgers this week?
Injured Aaron Rodgers.
That's what I said too.
Hands down.
Mike Wilbon said he'd rather have, he said, he's like, I would never do this, but in the type of situation that they're going to be in, I'm going with Aaron Rod. I mean, Russell Wilson,
Okay. I
which
like
I can see why you pick Russell Wilson, but I'm picking Aaron
the
Rodgers.
reason I pick Aaron Rodgers, and I think the reason he might have leaned towards Russell Wilson is don't picture them as Seahawks Packers, because when you say Russell Wilson, you're picturing him on the best with the best defense in the league, probably the most sound team in the league. Just
Yeah.
let's take like the Detroit Lions, like just an average team, probably above average team, and put an injured Aaron Rodgers on that team or Russell Wilson as is on that team.
Yeah.
Now, I bet you they go like, say Rodgers is injured the whole year, they probably still go 11-5. Wilson, they're maybe 10-6, 9-7, missing the playoffs this year. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, I
I
can
think
see that.
Rodgers' experience, intangibles, you see him, all the checkdowns and stuff he does.
New York Bozo. New York Bozo.
That's
That was fun.
worth having him injured a little bit. And honestly, an injured Aaron Rodgers is just like a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning in my book. Like, he's just like a regular.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like that performance level. I'm just saying it's like he's already one of the greats without his mobility. Add the mobility, he's probably could be, if he continues playing at this level, he's the best quarterback in NFL history. So you take away the mobility, he just looks like a Peyton Manning to me out there. I mean, like, maybe not Peyton Manning in his prime, but like,
Yeah, I get where you're coming
get what I'm
from.
saying? So
Yeah.
that's why I take Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. All right. This is an interesting question I saw.
Yeah, no, that
So,
is. Glad you brought that up, D. You
yep. So,
want
I think we got what?
to start the new segment?
Yeah. This will be like, yeah, we're gonna we'll see if we do this every week. We'll try to
Maybe bi-weekly.
bi-weekly, yeah. But it's gonna be called the segment Why We Hate ESPN. As you probably can guess, we hate ESPN. So that's why we're calling it Why We Hate ESPN. Pretty self-explanatory. But this is where we just go off on rants about ESPN.
And not that we hate everything about ESPN. We hate the
SportsCenter.
bias of SportsCenter. We hate like Ken Olbermann on there, or whatever his name
Yeah.
is. That guy,
Skip Bayless.
Skip Bayless, certain anchors, certain
Yes.
shows. It's just the organization of ESPN as a whole is obviously has some type of sports agenda that they're trying to get us to follow, but that is
Yes.
why we hate ESPN. And let's get into it.
All right. Well, my reason why I hate ESPN is ESPN talking nonstop about the Cowboys and giving no props to the Packers winning. Like, honestly, people, the Packers won a freaking playoff game, and instead you're talking about the Cowboys losing? Come on, man. Like, really?
The week building up to this game, Packers, as I said before, Packers favored by like 6. All we hear is how the Cowboys are going to upset them. Romo's great. Rodgers is hurt. They can't do it. I saw one ESPN article. It's like, oh, the Packers already have their excuse made up when they lose for saying that Rodgers was hurt. So literally no credit given. Tony, they think Tony Romo is the second coming as well.
Yeah.
Game happens. All you hear after the game is, whoa, what a great season it was for the Cowboys. Jason Garrett's going to get an extension. Tony Romo, still a great quarterback. And of course, they just beat the Dez Bryant catch to death. I
Yeah.
mean, the Packers win the game. Aaron Rodgers puts on an MVP performance with a torn leg muscle. And all you hear is Cowboys, which is typical of ESPN. I'm sure most of you know they like to stick to the Cowboys. Yankees, now the Cavaliers, usually whatever team LeBron's playing for, but
yep,
stuff like that. So,
and just in general, why we hate ESPN, Skip Bayless. I'm not even going to go into it.
They employ
I just hate Skip Bayless.
That is, like, the guy's a joke. I'm pretty sure, I don't think there's any way he actually believes what he's saying. I think he's just on there. The show he's on is First Take. He's on there just to have the opposite opinion of everything of what Stephen A. Smith has. And he literally just takes the stupidest opinion on everything. Like, general census would say Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback and probably the best in the NFL. Skip Bayless says he's overrated, can't win playoff games. General consensus would say, what's another example, Derek? He likes LeBron a lot too. Or no,
yeah,
he hates LeBron.
No,
actually,
he hates LeBron.
Which is kind of refreshing for ESPN because ESPN loves LeBron and Skip Bayless hates LeBron. And I would say the general census loves LeBron also, and he hates LeBron.
I don't know. He's just, like you said, he'll argue, like, Stephen A. Smith will be like, black is black, and he'll be like, nope, black is white. That's what he's like.
That's how you describe Skip Bayless in a nutshell. So,
I don't know. Just
and
Skip Bayless in
what,
general.
The article I read before about what he said about the Dez Bryant catch, that it was a crime of the century, like, oh, yeah, I can think of a lot worse calls than that.
Yeah. And a lot more crimes than an NFL playoff game.
I mean, we won't get into that, but...
No, this ain't...
I mean, come on.
Bad. Just shut your mouth, Skip Bayless. You're an idiot.
Another gripe I have about ESPN. So I'm watching... First of all, why was the College Football National Championship on ESPN last night? Like, why would that not be on, like, ABC or CBS?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Like, I'm not complaining because I have ESPN, but I know we have friends back home in Wisconsin that... don't have cable. I mean, so they can't watch the biggest college football game of the year.
That's ridiculous.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah. But that's because, like, they bought out. How much did they buy it for? Like,
it was a ton of money.
Yeah. Daniel Tosh ripped on it, too. If anybody knows who Daniel Tosh is, he's a stand up comedian who has a show on Comedy Central. He hates ESPN just as much as us, but, yeah, he said it was a bunch of money they paid off to get the college football. So, whatever. Yeah.
No, you're right. Another gripe I have against ESPN. This is just going off the top of my head. I didn't have this written down. Last night I'm watching the championship, of course, which we're going to recap later. But they have a commercial for ESPN, and it's got like dramatic music playing in the background.
I know what you're talking about.
And it's like try and go through like the best sports moments, and it's like I think the theme of it was kind of be like why we love sports, or like sports make a difference. And it's like, okay, like sometimes they do, but like for the most part, sports are sports. Like, I mean, obviously people get super into them, but like don't try and push it off as like life changing or like makes the world go round.
Yeah.
So they start off showing like the Super Bowl or whatever. Mm-hmm. Suddenly they're showing all these soccer plays, which, like, I don't know about you, and I'm sorry if this offends you, but me and Derek are not the biggest soccer fans.
No, we're not.
So they're showing soccer plays. They showed for every football they play, football and basketball play they showed, they probably showed one soccer play, which honestly is a joke in my opinion. Then I see they have Monet Davis.
Okay.
Which,
let's just get off the record. Okay. We are not sexist. We are not. Okay. But literally, she is what? A seventh grade?
She's a seventh grade girl pitcher who pitched for a team in the Little League World Series. And she won like two games. And this happens every other Little League World Series. There'll be like a girl on a team. They'll be like, oh, she's going to make the MLB. Oh my gosh. And like, it's just because at that age, girls hit puberty earlier.
Yeah, and more athletic than
guys. I mean, she's bigger than most of the guys on the team. And she threw like 70 miles an hour, which I'm not going to lie, it's very impressive for a 12-year-old girl.
I don't believe it.
So, yeah. No. Yeah. But I mean, so they're showing her as one of the like why we love sports moments of the year. So like they're kind of putting her up there with, as much as I hate soccer, the World Cup, Super Bowl, NBA Championship, Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
World Series, and they show Monet Davis. And let's reiterate this. She pitched in like two or three games for this team, and they lost not even in like the semifinals. They lost a few rounds out of the of the
Yeah,
like the
not even
championship.
close.
If they would have won it and she would have pitched like the game winning thing and everything, I would be like, okay, like she
Yeah.
did that, but they lost. So
Yeah, and like going off of that, what made me angry with it too, she's like, I throw my curveball like Clayton Kershaw and I throw my fastball like Monet Davis. Shut your mouth, okay? You are not an MLB pitcher. You cannot say that
yeah,
because
I noticed you took a very low tone.
I did. I did say take a low tone. I throw my fastball like Big D. That's me. I throw my fastball like that. Anybody can say that. All right.
Yeah, like,
so just stop.
I don't
it.
Know. That got way, way too much hype.
Yeah, it did.
So
we'll just stop it there. Let's just not get into it anymore.
We have so much on ESPN.
Yeah.
And
we do.
Literally just biggest reason is how much Cavs, Yankees, Dodgers,
yeah,
Cowboys, Giants coverage you get. It's just for every Packers thing they run, you'll have about 15,
10 other things.
Yeah,
Yeah.
10, 15 or 10 of those teams I just mentioned things. Like, it's ridiculous. So
we'll just keep it at that. That's our Why We Hate ESPN moment of the week segment. Yeah.
All right.
ESPN.
Let's try and just wrap up NFL here because we actually do have a lot of other stuff to talk about.
I don't think we really have much NFL yet to talk about.
Let's see. We had one last thing I wanted to hit on. Back to the Cowboys. As much as we talked about already, Jason Garrett gets a 5-year extension. I don't know the numbers on it. I don't care.
$30 million, I think it was.
I don't care. He gets a 5-year extension. So this is his 5th year coaching. He went like 6-10, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8. Finally, the dude makes the playoffs, wins a playoff game against the Lions, which he might have lost if that call goes the other way, and then loses to the Packers. That's worth a 5-year extension. Like, by no, and I know his contract was up, and by no means fire the guy, but 5 years, like,
yeah.
Is Tony Romo even going to be playing in 5 years? He might be retired.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just thought that was ridiculous. But there you go, Jerry Jones. Just jump on anything.
Guy has money for
it
anyway.
He's pulling a Chicago Bears, though.
Yeah, he is.
Signing Cutler that long, so
yeah.
We'll see how that works out for him.
Yeah. Well,
and let's put NFL to bed.
Yep, that's all we got on NFL. So I think we should try to kind of speed things up now because we're hitting quite a long time.
Yeah, we're over an hour already.
Yeah, we are. Let's just talk a little about the national championship. I was not expecting that. I was expecting Oregon to win, flat out. I was just expecting Oregon. I wanted to see Oregon, but it is what it is. I couldn't care less about who won, but Oregon just didn't look themselves. Like, after that game they played against Florida State, they got manhandled by Ohio State. Like, I don't know what happened. It was just weird.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I definitely was not predicting that. I thought Oregon would kind of do to Ohio State what they just did to Florida State. And I thought I was on the Mariota bandwagon, I'm not going to lie. That dude looks really good.
Yeah, he does.
And I thought he was just going to tear up Ohio State last night, and obviously that didn't happen.
He still had good stats, though.
Yeah, I mean, what were his stats? 333 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's not terrible. Maybe you want to see another touchdown or two out of your Heisman Trophy winner quarterback in the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, it was a pretty good game, back and forth. Till the end, you have a little gripe against Urban Meyer.
I didn't like Urban Meyer to begin with, but this just topped it off, and the little respect I had for him is now lost. Ohio State gets the ball back with like 3 minutes, about 2 minutes, I don't know exactly. But they're driving down and running up the clock. Okay, that's fine because you're going to win the national championship. And Oregon knows they lost. They're not going to come back from this. But they needed one more first down or whatever. It was like they got a first down on like the 2-yard line. And there is about 40 seconds left. What does Urban Meyer do? He punches it in for a score for that whatever Elliott guy.
Yeah, I know you're
And there is 30 seconds left, and you are already up by 14 in the championship. Shame on you, man. Why don't you take the kneel? Like, that's just like, that's, you don't do that. That's like, that's ridiculous, man. Come on. You can't, I'm just done. I can't stand that dude now.
Yeah, I'm not. I wasn't a fan of him either, and yeah, seeing that, I don't like that. And you made a good point off there before, how you were saying if that's against Michigan, you're like arch rival, and it's not the national championship with like millions of people watching. Go
for
ahead,
sure,
punch it
score.
In. But
you're in the national championship.
Come on. The games
have
won.
Some respect against or something. Have some classiness, like
yeah.
So, whatever.
I guess this was kind of a matchup of speed versus size. And I think in the past, with matchups like this, I mean, this brings like the Rose Bowl when Oregon played Wisconsin. That was kind of a speed versus size matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And in that one, size won. But in this one, I mean, excuse me, in that one, speed won. In this one, size won, I guess. Size being in Cardale Jones, that dude is huge.
He's big.
He is a big boy. He's like 250, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just looking at him, he's like Cam Newton.
Yeah,
but he's like stockier. So he had a good game, and he's had a honestly for filling in
for two games.
Yeah, three games.
Three games.
Yeah, they.
Oh yeah, I forgot Alabama.
Great game in the Sugar Bowl and. Another great game this week. He ran a lot more in the national championship than I saw him run against like Wisconsin, although I turned off that game pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
But he ran a lot more than I thought he did. So, I mean, that begs – I mean, these three games, he had a great three games. He's pretty young, so the conventional wisdom says he'll come back next year. But Ohio State also has JT Barrett, who was starting over him, and Braxton Miller, who was also starting over him. My guess is Braxton Miller and JT Barrett both want to play another year, so they look good for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm guessing Cardale Jones might too. So what do you do here? Like, they all three come back, you're going to try one out, and then, like, obviously, you can maybe have two decent quarterbacks and kind of do that, but like
the split, yeah.
Yeah, you can, and I don't even know if I agree with that, but you cannot have three quarterbacks of that level on your team. Like one of them's going to transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Cardale Jones, because obviously I don't think JT Barrett or Braxton Miller could go to the NFL right now and get drafted anywhere, like anywhere high.
Yeah.
But if you're Cardale Jones, they were talking about this on ESPN earlier today too. Do you like declare for the NFL? Which I mean, honestly, sounds crazy. You've played three games in your whole career, but who knows? Maybe someone takes a chance on you in the third or fourth round.
Yes,
and
but
then you're developed, because obviously you're not going to come out and start unless you're just like actually that good. So you're developing in training camp. And probably a season or two behind someone while getting paid. So is that better? And you read his tweet from before, Derek.
Yeah, the same guy that people are talking about who will be going to the NFL draft, possibly. This is what he tweeted out. This was a while back. This is what he says, quote, "Why should we have to go to class if we came here to play football? We ain't come to play school. Classes are pointless," unquote. And he had capitalization, or football, school, and pointless all in capitals. And he tweeted that out. So you're going to have a guy want to probably go for the draft? Like, no, I wouldn't want that on my team. You're an idiot. Why would you tweet that out? Like,
yeah,
idiot. It's idiotic.
He did say after the game, I think someone asked him in the press conference, and he said, "I don't think I'm ready to play at that level yet." But on ESPN, it was on NFL Live with Trey Wingo today. And Jeff Saturday, and honestly, I can't remember the other two guys' names. I think one of them's Ryan Clark. They were talking, and two of the guys said, go to the NFL, get paid, develop behind someone, kind of maybe like what Aaron Rodgers did.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Saturday said, get your butt back to college. Like, So I don't know. What do you do if you're in this situation, Derek?
I would stay at Ohio State. This kid has only started three games. Three games. I would stay in the college because
Yeah.
there's no way I'd make it in the NFL.
I agree. Three games under your belt is not enough. You can't, it's not like basketball where you can go from high school right to the NBA. You need at least a year,
Experience.
preferably 2 years of experience
Well, I
in
think
college
you need
football.
2 years experience in
No, I know, but
college.
I'm saying like he'd probably be
Oh, yeah.
eligible after next year. I mean, he's probably eligible now, but like, I don't know the rules, but honestly, what I would do is I would go, like, don't quote me on this because I literally, there's so many NCAA regulations, but I'd go to camp, see if I beat out Braxton Miller and TJ Barrett. Say I do, I play at Ohio State, rock it, get drafted. If I don't beat out one of them, or I'm like doing a thing where I'm sh maybe if I'm like sharing snaps with one of them, I might still stay. But if I'm like the third guy, I look, I say, okay, I'm gonna go to Michigan. Okay, I'm gonna go to Michigan State. I'm gonna go to Wisconsin. I'm gonna go to who knows, like any other
Yeah.
team. And you show them that you can play there too. And then a year or two there, and you go to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't know if that's legal. Like, maybe you can't. Maybe there's a certain time you have to announce transfer by. And I think maybe you're not eligible for a year or something. There's something, some
There's
rules I'm
so weird
getting on
rules,
here.
yeah.
That's what I would do. And yeah. So
So
I guess I don't know who I was really pulling for in this game.
I could have cared less, but
Yeah, I kind
I'd rather
of
see
want to see.
Oregon.
Yeah,
But
I agree. I kind of want to see Oregon win.
like you said, with Ohio State winning, that gives Ohio, I mean, that gives Big Ten a really good name because people were ripping on the Big Ten this year about how they're not a powerhouse, that all the teams aren't good. Well, it proved you wrong. Ohio State just won national championship, so
Yeah, there's
joke's
so
on
many
you.
people just talking how the SEC was so great. SEC did terrible in this bowl season. And look at Wisconsin won, Michigan State won, Ohio State obviously wins the championship, beating Alabama on the way there, and then going and beating the Pac-12's best. Like, this could
Statement.
be the thing that returns the Big Ten to being the elite football conference,
Yeah.
along with Jim Harbaugh returning to Michigan.
Sadly.
Sadly, well, I'm
I
glad he's out of
concur.
the
Yeah,
NFL, but
same.
put all this together, and Wisconsin's got Paul Chryst coming in. I think that program's going to stay strong. Minnesota's program's getting stronger. I mean, you got like Iowa's always pretty decent. Penn State's on the way back up. I don't, Rutgers and Maryland aren't even in the Big Ten, in my opinion. But
No.
this could be the return of Big Ten to be one of the elite football conferences, if not the best conference. And I think
Yeah,
that's good.
I agree. I agree. Well, yeah, overall, pretty solid game, I guess. I mean, it was entertaining.
Nothing like last year, but
No, I'm just glad to not see an SEC team win.
I did like. I think overall this playoff system was a success.
Yeah, I'm eating my words on it. I thought it was good because I thought it was just going to be number one versus two again,
Yeah,
but
and that
it's
just goes to
not.
show, like, who going into that playoff, who would have picked Ohio State?
No, I know. They
No.
barely got in.
Yeah.
So.
That people are saying TCU should have got in, Baylor should have got in. Ohio State gets in, and I was even like, okay, Ohio State's not that good. I mean, they
Yeah.
killed Wisconsin, but I'm like, no, they're not a contender for the national championship. They can't roll with Alabama and Oregon, and they beat both of those teams,
Yeah.
which, yeah. So proved me wrong, and good job to the NCAA for, or whoever planned that. Props to you.
So, all right. That's a national championship overall. So,
Okay.
you want to talk Badgers basketball quick?
Yeah, let's get that
Like,
hammered
let's
out.
just get this over with. I think they only played one game since last time we talked or had the
Yeah,
podcast.
stupid game.
They freaking lost to Rutgers. Rutgers. Honestly, you're the number four school in the country and you lose to Rutgers.
In their defense, they didn't have Kaminsky or Trayvon. So, I mean, that obviously had something to do with it, but you still have Decker, you still have Nigel Hayes,
Beto Brown,
yeah,
Gasser, Koenig. You have Duye, Dugan. You have all good guys yet. They can still be.
They should not have lost that game. I couldn't name a single Rutgers player to you if you asked me right now. I couldn't do it. Mm-mm. So, I don't know. That was kind of a joke. And I liked it. I did like that they only dropped to number 7 in the rankings. I think that was fair. Yeah. I think the people acknowledged that they did have a lot of players missing. So.
And it was good to see that Duke lost 2 to North Carolina State. So
yeah,
that helped them out too. But
now the thing, Kaminsky, I think is he was out for a concussion. He was cleared to practice now.
Yeah,
I think he's gonna play next game.
Mm-hmm.
Trayvon broke his foot, so that's
not yeah. Good. Well, Bronson Koenig is still a decent point guard, and you can always put Gosser at point guard if you want
to.
Yeah, but I mean. It's a big loss for the Badgers. As much as we hate Trayvon
Yeah,
Jackson.
I was just going to say, I think the reason we don't think it's such a big loss is because we are not Trayvon yeah. Jackson fans.
But with Trayvon, the thing that he brings, like I will say, he has really good ball handling and he's really quick.
Yeah.
He just makes dumb decisions, that's all. But
and there's probably some chemistry there with yeah. Trayvon and the rest of the guys, him as their leader. So, yeah, I mean, he should be back for tournament time and everything. And let's be honest, that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah. Obviously these games matter to get the seeding, but yeah, once but everything gets in, like it's pretty, yeah, it doesn't matter. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the overall the Badgers will be okay.
Yeah. They'll bounce back from this.
I mean, it's a little sad because this is their year because they're losing like everyone after this year. So,
mm-hmm.
That's the only sad part, but
yeah, that's really how we have Badger basketball.
Yeah,
so,
got some Bucks.
We're just
to
power
talk.
Through. Yeah, just power through these next few things. Bucks. Who did they play this past week? I'm being a bad fan. I watched it. Who did they lose? Oh, they played Phoenix. They lost. But
yeah,
that was on Tuesday. Beat Philadelphia. Like I think we covered that. They just beat Minnesota, which they're bad too because they're on a 15-game losing streak too as the Knicks. But I was kind of looking forward to that game, but then I remember Jabari Parker's hurt and it's not going to be as cool because that would have been cool seeing Jabari versus Andrew Wiggins. But
yeah, that would have been cool. Biggest thing for me with the Bucks right now is they're 5th in the Eastern Conference and the Cleveland Cavaliers are 6th. And
yeah.
I know they've been missing LeBron or whatever, but that's
you still, yeah.
That to me is great.
Mm-hmm.
So
stick it to him, and yeah, yeah. Sorry, that was just random. Sorry, but I agree. But yeah, they also played on Saturday. They played the Bulls and they lost by 8. But that's because Gasol. Paul Gasol had 46 points.
Yeah, the
Can
dude
you tell
went
me
off.
Who was probably playing defense on him?
Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah. So we all know why they lost, but and now they're playing in London versus the Knicks, which they should easily win this game because it's going to be a good one. I mean, a good win for the Bucks because Knicks
oh,
are
the Knicks
not
are
good.
Terrible, and they just dished out more of their. Of their players,
Shumpert and JR. So
no, I think they did another. They did something else just recently too. So that they're giving up on the season, which is
yeah.
I hate the Knicks, so it's fine with me.
Yeah, I'm surprised Carmelo's still there.
Not for long. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
not for long.
But I mean, there's really not too much new Bucks news we know of right now. But
Yeah, I guess not. Why don't we...
Well, hold up. Well, now it's not Bucks, but it's NBA. Something that just I saw happen today. Jameer Nelson from the Celtics got traded to the Nuggets for Nate Robinson. The only reason I bring this up is because Jameer Nelson was traded from the Mavericks in that Rondo deal, which was how long ago? Like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And now he's getting dished away again to the Nuggets for Nate Robinson. I just thought it was funny because that's, like, really quick. Guy hasn't even gotten used to a new place yet, and he's already gone. So
mm-hmm.
That's the only big news I've seen so far coming out of NBA. So, yeah. That's all I can think of, unless you got anything.
No, but I think that's it for the Bucks, but...
All right. Well, usually there isn't much about the Brewers to talk about, but...
I think we should talk about them, just because we haven't really said a thing about them since our first week.
No, I know. But the one thing I found, unless you found something else too, but so I don't know where I saw this. I think it was a commercial for some show that talks about the Brewers, but some Brewer, quote-unquote, analyst was saying that the Brewers don't have any players or depth to replace Braun and Ramirez if they – or Aramis Ramirez if they get hurt, which I totally disagree with you, him, on that, because with Braun – if Braun got hurt in the outfield, they have – do they still have that Parra on the deal?
I'm just reading something about that now. I think he's like in the last year of his contract or something.
With the Brewers, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they still have backup for him out in the outfield. Like, and they've played so much without Braun that they've been fine.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Davis is really good. So, I mean, literally, it would only be filling in Braun's hole. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and they have that Elian Herrera, and they can shift Logan Schaefer.
He can play
out
everywhere.
There.
I mean, Schaefer is not my favorite, but.
No, but he can do it.
And last year, we saw, like, they did some crazy things. Scooter was playing some outfield and mm-hmm. stuff. So I agree with you, Derek. They have some depth.
They do. And same with Ramirez. Like, if he gets hurt, which is very unlikely to see, unless that hamstring comes up again, they can move a bunch of people there. Like, Martin Maldonado can easily play catcher and third base and first base if he wanted. And, like, they have that Elian Herrera, again, like you said, can play anywhere. So, in my opinion, Brewers are fine. They'll do fine.
Just going off Brewers.com right now, there's an article. It's titled, Inbox, More Moves Coming for the Brewers. And it's just the beat reporter, Adam McAlvey, answering some fans' questions.
Yeah.
And it says, when are the Brewers – these are questions off Twitter – it says, when are the Brewers going to make another move? And there's more to the question. And the guy just pretty much says, the Brewers, I mean, baseball, obviously more than NFL, you need to make free agency moves, but they're mm-hmm. usually pretty quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, the last big move I can think of, I mean, last year they went out and got Parra at the deadline, but the last time I was like, wow, that is a big move, is when they went out and got K-Rod. So,
yeah.
And that didn't work out the greatest.
Nope.
So...
I'm reading the same article as you are, and here's one. It says, do you think the Brewers will trade either Kyle Loesch or Yovani Gallardo before the season? No. Why? I think he says no to. No.
Okay, with the Brewers right now, you have Aramis, you have Braun, you have Scooter Gennett, you have Gene Segura, you have decent starting pitching. Like, I think they're in the win now mode, even though they didn't make the playoffs last year. They were the best team in baseball, or at least the NL, for like
a long
majority
time.
Of year.
Yes.
So I don't think they're in like build a team for the future. They're in win
now
mode. They need to take what they have, build on that maybe. I mean, as this isn't the greatest philosophy to go by, but they almost need to like buy a team right now. Because they have, I think, Aramis has one more year left or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you're not going to have this team forever. So, I mean, while you have all the pieces together that you have right now, I mean, I'd try and strengthen up the bullpen. And I would say this year, if Tyler Thornburg and Jim Henderson can be healthy in the bullpen and you keep some of these, like, if Will Smith pitches anything like he did last year.
Yeah. Wait, no. Didn't they get rid of Will Smith?
Really?
I'm looking this up right now. I swear.
No.
I saw them.
No,
they dished
it
away.
The Brewers will start a year. We'll start the bullpen this year with Will Smith, Jeremy Jeffress, Brandon Kinsler, and.
Oh, yeah. No, who did they get rid of?
Oh.
He was a lefty. I can't remember. Zach Duke. Sorry. That's
right.
Oh,
okay.
That was who I was thinking of.
He was decent. I was almost surprised they didn't pitch him more last year. But anyway.
Sorry, random.
You have Thornburg and Henderson coming back. You have Will Smith, if he can pitch anything like he did last year. and you have Jimmy Nelson in the bullpen now because their starting lineup's actually healthy. Like, that's a solid bullpen. The only thing they need is a shutdown closer because I don't trust K-Rod.
No, they don't even have K-Rod.
No, you're right. He's a free agent, but like, don't re-sign him. Something else.
Like that's that mentioned. I'm glad you mentioned that because one of the questions was, what are the odds of re-signing K-Rod? And he said, I would have to say zero. So
yeah, I mean, down the stretch when the Brewers were like out of the playoffs, I stopped watching, and because at that point, Packers was starting too.
Yeah,
but from what I saw, I mean, Will Smith was like literally shut down. But at the end of the year, he started losing it. I don't think he's a lefty, so I don't think that's a great closer move. And I think Thornburg is more of a long reliever. I mean, obviously, Jim Henderson comes to mind to be a closer because he can throw gas.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that role earlier in his career. So, I mean, if Jim Henderson is their setup man and they have a closer that's better than him, they have a rock-solid bullpen.
Yeah, I'm feeling confident with the Brewers this season.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it'll be a good year.
As always, the Cardinals are going to give them a run for their money.
Yeah, Cardinals, and now the Cubs are making moves.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about the Brewers themselves, not so good about their division.
Yeah, but what's going to be rough is that first week or that first month. They have to play the Cardinals twice and the Pirates twice. And the Reds twice,
mm-hmm.
all in April, which is that's tough. That's tough right off the bat. You have to play so many division opponents. But that's good, though, because that separates, like, who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. So,
yeah, I agree, Derek. I agree.
So, well, yeah.
I guess that about wraps things up. You have anything else to add just off the top?
Nope. That was a long episode.
An hour and half. So that's like twice what we usually do.
Yeah, hopefully you guys bear with us.
If you're still listening at this point, you are a true fan, and we thank you.
Thank you.
So
we appreciate it.
Just like to give out Twitter name.
I got this for you. I can do it if you want.
Go ahead, Derek.
Hit us up on Twitter at Wisp Sports Talk. We finally set up that Twitter. We got it going. Canada, hit us up on Facebook too, Wisconsin Sports Talk Weekly. Search that. I'm still kind of trying to work on that. I don't know how well that will last.
We might just stick to Twitter and email.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Derek.
And then our email is wisportstalkweekly@gmail.com. So.
And just email any questions, comments, suggestions, concerns, anything you got.
Yep.
We didn't get any last week, so maybe we'll get.
Hopefully we get one this week.
Yeah, we're eager to converse with you.
We already have 4 followers on Twitter.
So. Yeah, so hopefully we get some more.
Yep. So, that's about all we have this week. So
let's just hope at this time next week we're talking about the Packers in the Super Bowl.
I agree. I really
that
hope
would
so.
Be the best thing that could happen, and hopefully we have another great game to recap for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yep. So, until next time,
2 more weeks of Packers football.
Yep. Of course. Loving it. All right. Well, until next time, Wisconsin sports fans, see you then.
See you then.